Well, good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. It is good to see you here this morning. And I would like to begin our service with a few announcements. As you know, we had to cancel Sunday school for the kids today. We do plan on beginning that again next week. So stay tuned. Stay in touch on social media. We'll update you. But as for now, we're going for next week. Also, Shady Oak Bible Study, a Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you're interested, Shady Oak is right off of County Highway 1, a little ways down here. Talk to me for some more details. Our Tuesday night Bible study will begin up again on October 20th, and that'll be at 7 p.m. Do we have any other announcements? I do have an announcement. Pastor Eric Reese was to be in today preaching. He did come down sick. He's doing okay, just for precaution. He's not here today. And we will have a special preacher, Pastor John Jewell. So look forward to hearing the word today. Today is Communion Sunday, so we will take part in the Lord's Supper. Well, now hear the call to worship from Psalm 25, verses 4 through 6. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Let us now sing praises to the Lord. Join along in your vehicle, and I would like to invite up the praise team.
How great thou art, how great thou art. joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. My soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
As Pastor Giovanni mentioned, I received notice this morning that our scheduled preacher was not able to be here. And so I have for you a sermon from Martin Luther, dated March 14th, 1522. Almost 500 years ago, but the words are very appropriate for today. It is on the worthy reception of the sacrament, namely Holy Communion. And I'll be reading it with just a few minor edits to make it work for this morning. But let us begin in prayer. Father, we thank you for your servants, your preachers of the word through the ages who have looked to you and the living word, and have proclaimed it faithfully. And we thank you, Lord, that you've preserved these for us today, that we still might benefit, Lord, from your servants who have gone before us. So, Lord, help us to hear your word today. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Today we shall see how we must conduct ourselves here, and also who is worthy to receive the sacrament and who belongs there. It is very necessary that your hearts and consciences be well instructed, and that you make a big distinction between outward reception and inner spiritual reception. Bodily and outward reception is that which a man receives with his mouth, the body of Christ and his blood. And doubtless any man can receive the sacrament in this way, without faith and love. But this does not make a man a Christian. For if it did, even a mouse would be a Christian, for it too can eat the bread and perchance even drink out of the cup. It is such a simple thing to do. But the true inner spiritual reception is a very different thing, for it consists in the right use of the sacrament and of its fruits, its benefits. I would say in the first place that this reception occurs in faith and is inward and will have Christ. For there is no external sign by which we Christians may be distinguished from others except this sacrament and baptism. But without faith, outward reception is nothing. There must be faith to make the reception worthy and acceptable before God. Otherwise, it is nothing but a sham and a mere external show, which is not Christianity at all. Christianity consists solely in faith, and no outward work must be attached to it. But faith, which we all must have if we wish to go to the sacrament worthily, is a firm trust that Christ, the Son of God, stands in our place and has taken all our sins upon his shoulders, and that he is the eternal satisfaction for our sin and reconciles us with God the Father. He who has this faith is the very one who takes his rightful place at this sacrament. And neither devil, nor hell, nor sin can harm him. Why? Because God is his protector and defender. And when I have this faith, then I am certain God is fighting for me. I can defy the devil, death, hell, and sin, and all the harm with which they threaten me. This is the great, inestimable treasure given us in Christ, which no man can describe or grasp in words. Only faith can take hold of the heart, and not everyone has such faith. Therefore, this sacrament must not be made a law, as the Most Holy Father, the Pope, has done with his fool's commandment. All Christians must go to the sacrament at Holy Eastertide, and he who does not go shall not be buried in consecrated ground. Is not this a foolish law which the Pope has set up? Why? Because we are not all alike. We do not all have equal faith. The faith of one is stronger than that of another. It is therefore impossible that the sacrament can be made a law. And the greatest sins are committed at Easter solely on account of this unchristian command, whose purpose is to drive and force people to the sacrament. And if robbery, usury, unchastity, and all sins were cast upon one big heap, this sin would overtop all others at the very time when they who come to the sacrament want to be most holy. Why? Because the Pope can look into no one's heart to see whether he has faith or not. But if you believe that God steps in for you and stakes all he has and his blood for you, as if he were saying, "Fall in behind me without fear or delay, and then let us see what can harm you. Come death, devil, sin, and hell, and all creation. I shall go before you, for I will be your rear guard and your vanguard." Isaiah 52:12. Trust me and boldly rely on me. He who believes that He who believes that cannot be harmed by devil, hell, sin, or death. If God fights for him, what can you do to him? He who has such faith has his rightful place here and receives the sacrament as an assurance or a seal or sign to assure him of God's promise and grace. But of course, we do not all have such faith. See such rich, immeasurable treasures, which God in his grace showers upon us, cannot be possessed of everyone, but only of those who suffer tribulation, physical or spiritual, physically through the persecution of men, spiritually through despair of conscience, outwardly or inwardly. When the devil causes your heart to be weak, timid, and discouraged so that you do not know how you stand with God, and when he casts your sins in your face, and in such terrified and trembling hearts alone, God desires to dwell. As the prophet Isaiah says in the 6th chapter, "For who desires a protector, defender, and shield to stand before him if he feels no conflict within himself, so that he is distressed because of his sins and daily tormented by them? That man is not yet ready for this food. This food demands a hungering and longing man, for it delights to enter a hungry soul, which is constantly battling with its sins and eager to be rid of them. He who is not thus prepared should abstain for a while from this sacrament, for this food will not enter a sated and full heart, and if it comes to such a heart, it is harmful. Therefore, if we think upon and feel within us such distress of conscience and the fear of a timid heart, we shall come with all humbleness and reverence and not run to it brashly and hastily, without all fear and humility. So we do not always find that we are fit. Today I have the grace and am fit for it, but not tomorrow. Indeed, it may be that for 6 months I have no desire or fitness for it. Therefore, those who are most worthy, who are constantly being assailed by death and the devil, are the ones most worthy, and they are the ones to whom it is most opportunely given, in order that they may remember and firmly believe that nothing can harm them, since they now have with them him from whom no one can pluck them away. Let come death, devil, or sin, they cannot harm them." This is what Christ did when he was about to institute the Blessed Sacrament. First, he terrified his disciples and shook their hearts by saying he was going to leave them, which was exceedingly painful to them. And then he went on to say, "One of you will betray me." Do you think that did not cut them to the heart? Of course, they accepted that saying with all fear, and they sat there as though they had all been traitors to God. And after that, he made them all tremble with fear and sorrow. And after he had made them all tremble with fear and sorrow, only then did he institute the Blessed Sacrament as a comfort and consoled them again. "For this bread is a comfort for the sorrowing, a healing for the sick, a life for the dying, a food for all the hungry, and a rich treasure for all the poor and needy. Let this be enough for this time concerning the use of this sacrament. I commend you to God." Are you hungry? Are you struggling? Are you ready to be rid of your sin? Come to the table. The Lord is here for you. Amen.
Amen. It is time for Holy Communion at Stavanger Lutheran Church. Eating and drinking both bread and wine, the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. If you'll see in your bulletin insert, you might have some questions about Holy Communion, and we'll go over that for you. For whom is Holy Communion intended? Holy Communion is intended for those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, who trust in Him as Savior and Lord, who confess and repent of their sins, and have been instructed in the meaning and proper reception of this sacrament. Our practice at Stavanger is to offer Holy Communion to believers who have completed confirmation instruction or its equivalent. Children who have not yet been confirmed are welcome to come and to receive a blessing. We'll come to you. Why should you participate in Holy Communion? In Holy Communion, the Lord forgives our sins, strengthening our union with Him and with one another. We ask today that you remain in your vehicles or seated out on the lawn. Pastor John and I will approach and supply you with the elements. We'll wait until everyone has been served to consume the elements. If you do not wish to receive Holy Communion today, please just indicate to us with your hand. Holy Communion is normally offered during the worship service on the first Sunday of each month. Even with these outdoor services, we've been doing it on the first Sunday of each month, and shortly following the worship service. So if you have any questions, please see one of the pastors. Now I'd like to begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us listen to the story of our Lord's suffering and death for us, as given in the Holy Scriptures. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Him there, along with the criminals, one on His right and the other on His left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up His clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at Him. They said, "He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked Him. They offered Him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was written a notice above Him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked Him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When He had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Let us hear the gracious invitation of our Lord given to us in the Holy Scriptures. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Congregation, you'll see in your bulletin the confession of our sin. Let us confess our sins together with the words of Almighty God, our Maker. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. And now, congregation, let us confess the Christian faith with the words from the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is in unity with the Father and the Son, is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I have it. Wait. Now you'll see here, I have the element. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Pastor John and I will now serve Holy Communion. bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let us give thanks to God for his grace to us. Father, we thank you and praise you for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, you have created all things. He was sent to be our Savior. He took on flesh and lived among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross, putting an end to death by rising to new life. Lord, grant by your word and the power of your Holy Spirit that as we have received your body and blood, we may be assured once again of the forgiveness of all our sins and be strengthened by your presence. Father, we humbly receive the benefits of this sacrament and offer you our spiritual sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, congregation, let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now it's time for our closing chorus. Go now in peace. Receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Him above the heavenly.